Alright, what is up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to the Massive Breakdown Podcast, episode 60. Got a nice short podcast for you this week. Not a ton to talk about. I am still just plinking away at this game, playing all the different classes, all the different subclasses, trying out as many weapons as I can. Hoping to have an actual massive breakdown of weapons ready for you guys. Maybe by the time this podcast comes out, but if not, by next week's update at the latest. Hopefully we'll have a massive breakdown weapons recommendation podcast for you next week. But in the meantime, we're going to be talking mods for you tonight. We're going to be talking a little bit more on the state of the Crucible. Let's get the introductions out of the way. As always, I'm your host, Mercules, joined tonight by Kit Kutcha. How are you doing tonight, Kit?
Merc, can't complain too much. Finally over my hangover from this weekend. And, you know, coming in, having had some trial success and some Destiny success in general. So feeling pretty good. I just unlocked my Voidwalker, too. So that's going to be going to make this week a lot more fun. How about you, man?
Very nice, very nice. I also drank a decent amount this weekend. It was my birthday celebration, so we got that in common, which is pretty cool. But also, I too have been separating stuff from my main. I started off on a hunter, as is the usual. I played Gunslinger, I played Night Stalker, I played Arc Strider. Moved on from that. I'm now in the process of using my Titan, and I've got Sentinel and Striker on my Titan. I'm just about to unlock the Sunbreaker. I'm trying to get a really solid feel. I'm trying to get comfortable with each subclass before I move on to the next one. I am going to be honest with you, Striker, extremely easy to get comfortable with. Sentinel, I absolutely freaking suck with it. I cannot get the hang of it yet, but I am trying my darndest, so we'll see if I can't get there eventually. My Voidwalker, I basically just got Dawnblade and Voidwalker. Sorry, my Warlock, I just basically got Dawnblade and Voidwalker, and I haven't spent too much time on, haven't even finished the campaign on him yet, but as soon as I finish up the Titan, I will move over to the Warlock, and hopefully that'll be by next week, and I'll be able to talk a little bit more about it. In the meantime, basically just same old in the Crucible. Not enjoying solo play, been running with a four-man team almost exclusively. I got to a pretty comfortable level with my Hunter, where we could pretty much consistently win most four-mans. Switched over to my Titan. I actually tried leveling the Titan in the Crucible at first. That was an exercise in futility. I don't know if I've ever experienced a less enjoyable segment than trying to run a level like 6 Titan through the Crucible. No bueno, no bueno at all. Still trying to work my weapons from there, but basically not much has changed. Weapon recommendations are all pretty steady. The meta shook out pretty much exactly the way we thought it would. It's very, very stable right now. I am going to have a couple of, you know, recommendations that I may keep up my sleeve. You know, Uriel's might not be the best AR. There might be a couple of pulse rifles out there that the perks help them out along the way. But we'll talk about all that stuff next week. In the meantime, I hear you've done a ton of research on mods that you'd like to start sharing with us.
Yeah, I spent several hours reviewing video footage and going frame by frame on a bunch of different mod combinations and timing out, you know, ability recharges, grenade recharges, melee recharges. Do want to specify, of course, that now in Destiny 2, when I say class ability, I specifically mean your class ability and not your class grenade or your class melee, but the dodge, the rift, and the barrier. There was a lot of confusion on that last week. People were a little, and I guess in general, not just last week, but since Destiny 2 was launched, a lot of people have been under the impression that the Paragon mods affect all of those cooldowns, and I just want to open this discussion on mods by saying that that is 100% not the case. They only affect the class ability. So that's, I just want to say it so explicitly that you can't get confused, because I've had a million questions about that on Reddit from people, and I want to make sure nobody's confused, because that that's important. You don't want to think you're getting a benefit there and you're 100% not. So
yeah, some people were thinking that you were getting a little bit of a cooldown on each one of the abilities as opposed to a larger cooldown on one, but nope, it's just a little bit of poor wording on the descriptions part. It is either the shield, the rift, or the shade step only.
Yeah, it's a change in terminology from Destiny 1. I think Bungie has been consistent in using it, but I don't think they ever explained that this was new. This was essentially new terminology. So there's your vocab lesson from Kit Kutcha for this week. Class ability means rift, barrier, and dodge. So let's move on from that point, though. Mods, you know, there's a lot of them, but then there's, I guess, after going through them all, I feel like there's not as much variety as you might have thought. The number of ways that you can build them out is large, but it's not infinite. And I think there's some pretty clear favorites in terms of what is beneficial for mods. So let's start by going through what they all are, how they all work, and then we can talk about, you know, numbers-wise, what seems to work well. We can talk about what our impressions have been in the game as far as how these mods work in actual play. So first off, I'll just make mention that, you know, we do, of course, have weapon mods, kinetic damage, arc damage, solar damage, and void damage. They're all exactly what they say on the tin. None of them do anything special. And that's about all there is to it. But I want to mention them because a lot of people did not realize that there were legendary kinetic damage mods. There are legendary kinetic damage mods that give you +5 light to your kinetic weapon. But you can, as far as I know, you can only get them. I've heard some people claim they can get them out of bright engrams. I've not seen that happen. As far as I know, you can only get them at the gunsmith by dismantling other legendary mods and then using those mod components to craft a weapon mod and getting lucky. It seems to be a 1 in 4 chance of getting a legendary kinetic mod. I've gotten a few. I know some people have been trying to farm them, spending their 100,000 glimmer a week on mods alone to try and get a lot of those, and had some success. So it does happen. It can happen. Have you had any issues getting those? They seem to drop for me about 1 in 4. So
no, I've had more than enough of them fall. What I have had issues getting to drop are the helmet resilience increasing mods. I have only seen exactly 9 of those, enough for 1 legendary a piece per character. And the only 9 I've gotten, I got 3 a piece out of an Eververse rare mods package.
Okay.
When I started leveling my characters. And I have never seen another rare one, and I have never seen a legendary one drop. So I'm starting to wonder if it's even possible to get those outside of those Eververse packages. Because I obviously want to increase my resilience as much as possible, and that is handicapping me because I can only run 1 helmet per character, basically, because it's the only one that has a resilience bonus on it.
Yeah, I guess I can't tell you off the top of my head if I've had issues getting those or not. I don't feel like I have, but I have been almost exclusively playing Hunter, and I have a couple of them, and that's really all that I've needed, so I haven't tried to spread them around too much yet, so I can't.
Yeah, they're the impact absorption mods is specifically what they're called.
Yeah. Not sure on the drop rates for those. So I guess I'd be curious to hear feedback from our listeners on Twitter. Have there been any mods that you guys are not seeing? Are the impact absorption mods also rare for you, or is it something else? Is it just RNG and you're just unlucky, Mercules? That could be the case. Let's run through them. So I want to talk. I guess we can start with the ability mods first. So there are 3 mods that increase your ability scores, and those are the impact absorption mod, which gives +1 resilience, stacking with the resilience from your armor, and that is something that you can put on a helmet or on a Titan mark. So Titans can get 2 of those. Everybody else can get 1. We've also got a self-repairing mod, and that gives +1 recovery, and that can go on leg armor or on a warlock bond. So again, warlocks max recovery, titans max resilience, and then hunters, of course, max mobility. So you've got an acceleration mod, which can go on arms or on a hunter cloak, and that gives +1 mobility. So these mods each give just a small bump to that ability. +1 resilience equates to +1 or 2 health, depending on what your current resilience is. And that's something that, I guess, at present really is still just an estimated value, right? We can't be 100% certain that we're right. But you did the testing on resilience. So I don't know if you can speak to how that went or how that worked.
Yeah, well, I mean, I did, you know, some sort of testing on resilience. I wasn't able to do the type of testing that I would like to do If we were to have custom games, it's honestly just quite frankly impossible to do in the current state of the Crucible. But basically, resilience just increases the amount of shield you get. I believe every Guardian has 70 health by default, which is down. It was closer to 100, I believe, or something like that in Destiny 1, or at least visibility-wise, that's what it was showing you. So you'll notice that when your shields pop, now you are much, much weaker than you were before.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, basically what resilience does is it takes your shield variable up from 116 to 131. 116 would be 0 resilience, and 131 would be 10, a full 10 resilience. So it does. It definitely changes what you can survive. There are quite a few time-to-kill changes where guns will kill in one last shot, and that increases as you go up in resiliency levels, but most importantly, it dramatically increases the percentage of critical hits that your opponent has to get on you to get the optimal time to kill. So I highly, 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 highly recommend maxing resilience or getting as much as you absolutely can. At the very, very, very bare minimum, please run at least 2 resilience. Never run 0 or 1 resilience. You will notice you are getting killed a lot faster by a lot of different weapons if you do. Truly, what you should be running is 4,
yeah.
And if you want to run a balanced spread, probably 6 will do you right. I try to shoot for 10 if I can on every character. It's not necessarily possible because of the way some characters' armor loadouts go, but I've got 9 on my hunter and I'm very happy with it.
Yeah, I feel like I've been aiming to keep at least 4 in general, if not 6 or 8, depending on what I'm trying to do, how much I feel like working with the other stats. I've been trying to kind of play around with how different stat loadouts feel on my hunter. But yeah, I would 100% agree. I would even go so far as to say that if you're running less than 4, you're probably handicapping yourself against a lot of the weapons that people are running in the Crucible right now. Most notably, the precision scout rifles have a little bit of popularity. People like them as an alternative to Mida, and if you are lower than 4, they have a much easier time killing you. They can actually, I think, hit a 1 second time to kill if you're at 3 resilience or less. So that is something to keep in mind. They're not the only gun that benefits from you having low resilience. There are a lot of them that do. And going to 4, you're going to see a lot of guns have just a little bit harder time finishing you off. And then, of course, it continues. Each additional point is going to make it a little bit harder. So that's impact absorption, though. That's definitely something worth looking at. I am a big fan of putting a lot of points into recovery. I picked the wrong subclass to have the stats that are worthwhile in Destiny 2. So the self-repairing mod gives +1 recovery. Now, this, I don't think, is exactly the same for every point of recovery. I think it can vary a little bit as the benefit of resilience does, but each point of recovery gives you approximately 0.3 seconds faster time to get your health back completely. That sounds like a pretty small benefit, but keeping in mind that time to kill is hovering around 1 to 1.2 seconds, getting fully healed 0.3 seconds faster means you're getting back into the fight that much sooner. It's tough for people to finish you off compared to Destiny 2. If you're able to get into cover, every fraction of a second counts in terms of getting your health back. So sticking close to cover and having a higher recovery stat is going to make it a lot easier for you to stay in the fight and get back in the fight after a kill.
So is it just a flat increase? It's just 0.3 seconds with every bit of recovery that you get,
give or take? On average, that's what I found. Yeah, I found some seem to be about 0.4, about 0.2. I didn't test every single difference because it seemed pretty steady. And it's really tough to count that because it's tough sometimes to tell exactly when the health bar starts changing. I don't have fancy video editing software like some of our colleagues in the Destiny community do. But Fallout, I think, said something very similar. I think he also said around 0.3 seconds, and I know he does have fancy video editing software, so...
Do you know how long it takes at 0 recovery to start getting your health back? And then how fast it is at 10? Or were you able to figure that out?
I couldn't test at 10, because I don't have my Warlock maxed out yet, but at... Zero, it was more than 10 seconds. I think off the top of my head, at two recovery, it's about 10.4 seconds to go from very low health to full recovery. And it's going to vary a little bit depending on how low you go. Like, I was testing is it Nessus where you spawn on the giant tower with the mm-hmm. horribly slow elevator? Yep. Yeah, so I was testing jumping off there. I think Fallout also did some tests off there, actually. We did not talk about that. It's a good spot to test recovery. And so from fairly low health, it took 10.4 seconds at two recovery. I think it was almost 11 at zero. And yeah, so you to even get under 10 seconds, you have to go to four recovery. So it's fairly slow. Like, you don't want to sandbag your recovery stat, or you're going to be sitting around a lot in the Crucible, and that's not something you want to do. Every second you have to sit there healing is a second somebody can kill you, or is a second that you're not getting kills. So,
yeah. I've been trying to take my recovery up off the floor. I'm used to really slow recovery time because I ran basically a zero. I guess you'd call it recovery. It was the same mm-hmm. thing in Destiny 1, but I ran basically a zero. I put everything into armor and mobility. So I'm kind of used to it, but in this game I did notice it was a little bit slower, so I've been putting, you know, one or two or three or four. It's still my least used of the stats. But I've been putting a little bit into it because I did notice that at the bottom it was very, very, very slow. So at least I kicked it up a notch.
Yeah, for me, the way I've been playing, I have been running Mida a lot because I'm a meta whore. That's just how I do. And so I felt like I've just been sandbagging my acceleration or my mobility as much as I can, and just putting everything into resilience and recovery. And I feel like it's been a good trade off. But if you're not doing that and you do want some actual strafe speed, then yeah, it's you kind of gotta balance that a little bit. Although I would almost, I don't think you'd be wrong to go like four resilience, eight recovery. That makes you tough enough to survive the most common weapons, or at least to force them to their to the point where their optimal time to kill is not going to be faster than you might expect, and you're going to recover really quickly. So it's a viable strategy anyway. So that's recovery. So the acceleration mod gives plus one mobility. What mobility does in Destiny 2 is the same thing that it did in Destiny 1. That is, it increases your jump height, it increases your walking/jogging speed, and it increases your speed while crouching. Because it increases walking speed, it also increases strafing. Because keep in mind, strafing is just walking sideways. I've heard some people like kind of question if those are like different things, but it is the same mechanic. So anything that affects one affects both. But it does affect all of those. It does not affect sprint speed at all. The only way to affect sprint speed is to have Mida multi-tool, Mida mini-tool, or what's the Warlock exotic that I'm forgetting? Is it Transversive Steps?
I think so. The boots, obviously.
I'm drawing a total blank, but yeah, I believe it's Transversive Steps. So that's on the record now, so if I'm wrong, tell me in Discord or something, I guess. But yeah, so you have to have, you basically have to have an exotic to affect sprint speed. That's the only way to do it. So mobility is not worthless. It does visibly affect your speed, strafing side to side, visibly affects your jump height, and, you know, it does help you get places faster if you don't want to sprint. If you want to be able to engage, more easily, then it is not a worthless stat, but I guess I don't feel like it has a great deal of value, so compared to recovery and resilience.
Well, I use mobility because of the strafe speed, basically. That's pretty much the only reason I use it. I mean, I don't have a reason besides that. I feel like I move slower when I don't have it. I did some brief tests in the very beginning. I went from 0 mobility to 9 mobility, and I just ran around and played the game at the levels in between. And I just feel wise only, I just like 9 mobility more. So I don't max it out, but I try to get at least 5 or 6 mobility on each one of my characters, just if I can. The Warlock, less so than the others, because it already has pretty high recovery, so because it comes with a lot of recovery, and then I want to put everything else into resilience. So I kind of, you know, I'm like, well, if I've already got a decent amount of recovery, I might as well just boost that up too. So the Warlock, I put the least amount of mobility into. Plus, the Warlock, most of my time is spent floofing anyways, so I don't necessarily spend a ton of time strafing. But my Titan, I think, has 5 mobility, and my Hunter has 6 mobility. So I'm definitely trying to get some added mobility in there. And I also really appreciate the perks that give you faster speed when you're ADS. If I could remember that one off the top of my head, what it was called.
But yeah, I know what you're talking about. Those are definitely nice. I actually prefer those perks to something like this because in general, I guess, I don't know. And part of it's because I'm on a Hunter, so it's tough to have less than 5 mobility. Have to go out of my way to have less mobility than that. But, you know, you're right. You can feel the difference. It's something you can detect. And it is also something that if you actually record yourself sprinting across kind of a set area, or not sprinting, but jog, like running, I guess is what I mean. You know, it's something that you can actually detect the difference. I haven't bothered to time it out because I don't know that it matters that much how much faster exactly you are. You are faster with every point, and that's really all we need to know. So those are the ability ones. Let's talk, since we're talking about abilities, let's talk about your actual cooldown abilities, the melee, the grenade, and the class ability. So we've got elemental mods for all of those. We've got Arc, Solar, and Void, Impact mods, Ordnance mods, and Paragon mods. The Impact mods, of course, affect melee, the Ordnance mods affect your grenade cooldown, and the Paragon mods affect just that class ability, like we talked about earlier. Each of these mods reduces the cooldown by approximately 9%. I say approximately because without actually having access to the code, it's hard to be completely 100% sure that I'm getting it right every time, even counting frames, because I don't know exactly, you know, where should I start counting, and that can throw the percentages off. So depending on where you start counting frames, it's going to come out pretty close to 9%. For reference, let's talk about what that actually means in terms of seconds. So for reference, grenade cooldowns are 83 seconds for every grenade in the game, except for the Firebolt and Arc Bolt, which are 60 seconds. The Titan and Warlock melee cooldowns are 83 seconds, except for the Stormcaller melee, which actually has a 96-second cooldown. And the Hunter melee cooldowns are also 96 seconds because they are awesome. As for class abilities, the Hunter dodge cooldown is pretty close to 25 seconds. Some people are going to count it as 24. Like I said, it depends on when you decide that it counts as activated and start counting frames. So, whatever. Titan wall cooldown is approximately 38 seconds, and the Warlock rift cooldown is 83 seconds. So, Bungie really likes a minute and 23 seconds for some reason, probably because it's 1, 2, 3. They think, you know, that's the kind of joke that I feel like they would put into the game. So as far as how these mods work, of course, if you have one mod on, that reduces the cooldown by 9%. So you might think, okay, well, if I have two mods, does that give me 18% off? And at first I thought that it did, but I double-checked my math, and I actually found that it does not. There is an actual diminishing return, and that's because it's literally a percentage, so they're actually being multiplied. So you'll take, you know, 83 seconds times 0.91 and then take that number times 0.91 again. And what that ends up coming out to is essentially taking the base time multiplied by 0.83, so it's you know, essentially about a 17% discount with two mods, and then with three you're getting approximately 24% off of the time. So it can take quite a bit of time off, especially for the grenade and the melee cooldowns. You can do a ton, or the Warlock Rift, you can make a really big difference. Hunter Dodge cooldown, of course, does not change a whole lot. Even with three mods, you're taking it down to 18 seconds instead of 25, so whether or not that's worth it, I guess, is up to you. Titan cooldown, of course, is fairly similar. You're only getting a limited amount of time off with the Paragon mods there. But the grenade mods give you a ton of time off. The melee mods give you a ton of time off. Grenade mods in particular, to me, are valuable because the grenades, while they can't one-hit kill, are definitely really useful for winning gunfights and controlling objectives. So that is those mods in a nutshell. Did I miss anything there, or what are your insights as far as how those mods have been working for you?
No, that's one of the things I hadn't really done any testing on my own. Doing ability cooldowns isn't really something that I focus on. I pretty much rely on you guys and Fallout and everyone to get that out of the way pretty quickly, so I just tend to stay away from it, let you guys do your work. Resiliency is the only thing I personally care about checking on my own, but I am not really running too many of those mods. I've found that I'll run the grenade ones. I'll maybe stack a couple grenade ones if I really want to. But I've kind of just resigned myself to the slow cooldowns. And I've been using the mods for counterbalance stuff on certain weapons. I've been using the mod for handling. Like I've got a heavy weapon handling or power weapon handling on one of them. I've been using the mods for resiliency, mobility, and restoration. I guess what it's called, recovery. Jesus,
recovery. Yeah,
but yeah, I haven't actually been using too many of the cooldown mods yet. And the ones that I have used, like I said, it's pretty much just been grenade ones because that's what I use for the most part. I don't use my melees a whole ton in this game. I don't know if it's just the playstyle or what it is, but I'm pretty much only using grenades and the class ability. So those are. Grenades are really the only one I'm focusing on.
That's fair. Yeah, I'll say, you know, as far as melees go, my throwing knife game is on point in Destiny 2. They feel so much crispier to me, but unfortunately, they just don't do a whole lot of damage. So I've shut down a couple of supers with throwing knives, which is literally the best feeling in Destiny for me right now. There's nothing like hitting a striker Titan in super with a throwing knife in the head and watching him die, but that has only happened twice, so it's a rare feeling. Definitely grenades are a lot more useful. I guess what I would say as far as the ability and grenade and melee cooldowns go, it's still fairly early days for Destiny 2. I think there are while there are some people who go pretty hardcore, and probably a lot of you who listen to us go pretty hardcore, there are also those folks who, like me, take the game seriously, but are kind of filthy casual some weeks in terms of how much time they have to actually just play. Certainly, reviewing footage has taken a lot of time away from playing the game lately for me, which is why I'm a little behind on leveling certain subclasses. So I have found that I have stayed away from these because I haven't settled on a subclass yet. In Destiny 1, I settled pretty hard on Voidwalker for my Warlock. And if I do that again in Destiny 2, then these cooldown mods are going to be really useful because I can just have Void cooldowns on everything. I don't have to worry about collecting Solar or Arc, and I don't need four different sets of armor built out for it. I can just have one, and they'll be great all the time. But if you are switching subclasses a lot, if you're still trying to figure things out, these cooldown mods are probably less useful because, you know, on my Hunter right now, I've got, I forget which armor piece it is. I have a bunch of Solar mods that I got, and like all my armor, I think, on my legs is Solar mods, and I've been playing a lot of Voidwalker, Night Stalker, whew. So my leg armor has just been completely worthless. It's given me nothing because I have the wrong mod, and I wish that I had something else to put there. But I don't want to get rid of a +5 mod, so for now I'm stuck. So something to keep in mind as you're deciding, you know, what mods are worth putting on your armor. If you haven't settled on a subclass, probably don't even worry about using the cooldown mods, except, you know, for maybe a grenade mod or two, because they are they just one grenade mod gives you a pretty significant chunk of time off that recharge. But otherwise, yeah, you're probably better off looking at some of the other mods. And I guess let's maybe talk about what some of those other mods are and how they work. So the other mods that you've got available, we've got the kinetic and energy counterbalance mods that you mentioned. The kinetic counterbalance mod can go on chest armor or on a hunter cloak, and the energy counterbalance mod can go on arms or a hunter cloak. So hunters can double up either one of those, but not both, and everybody else can have one of each. And what those appear to do is add a straight stat bonus to recoil direction. And I say that at this point with pretty high confidence, although I can't tell you exactly how much it is. I would guess maybe something in the vicinity of 20, but that's just pulling a number out of thin air at this point. It's really tough to say more than that. The reason I say that, though, and this is something there's been a lot of debate on these counterbalance mods, as everybody I'm sure is well aware. We've had some pretty big YouTube and streamer names saying they don't work, people saying they do work. I can say with, you know, 99.9% confidence that they do, in fact, work. However, if you are increasing the recoil direction stat of a weapon that has recoil direction of 90, it is going to 100, or if the stat goes that high, 110. And your visible difference in terms of the recoil pattern is going to be basically nil. If you had like heat mapping software and you could, you know, sit there and just empty 100 magazines with and without them, you could probably detect the difference. For those of us in the real world who play this game as a hobby and who do this kind of research as a hobby because this is the kind of thing that's fun for us and fun for you guys, that's, you know, not realistic. If you are out there and you have that kind of software and that kind of skill and you want to do that, hit me up. I'd love to see it. I'll even send you some screenshots. But in the meantime, we can say with confidence that if you are applying those mods on a weapon that has crappy recoil, if a weapon with a recoil direction of 50 or 60 or even 70, it's going to be visibly detectable, and the gun is going to feel more vertical, and in reality, it will be shooting more vertically. And I think the Lincoln Green test that you did, you posted screenshots of that on Twitter, I don't know, a week and a half ago, are, you know, a prime example of a weapon that has horrible recoil, and the mods, like, it's indisputable that they work.
Yeah. Lincoln Green is a gun I wouldn't even touch if I didn't have kinetic counterbalance mods to go with it. It's got a fast time to kill, but the stats are poor, and that recoil direction was basically unmanageable without one of those mods. I double stacked because I'm a hunter main, and I went with two of them, and I'm very appreciative that I did that. But you're right in saying that even up to about 70 recoil direction, I think you'll be okay. I mean, heck, even at 80, you can... At 80 recoil direction, you don't need a counterbalance mod. But if you put one on, you will probably notice the gun is just a tiny bit easier to control. At 90, don't do it. 90 or above, you're wasting a slot. Yeah. You're just not going to get the full benefit out of it. It's not worth it. 90 is already almost perfectly vertical. But if you're, you know, if you're at below 70, I would say use one for sure. If you're at 80, I'd say use the gun. If you want to make it just a little bit easier, you have an extra slot open, go with it. But the kinetic counterbalance and the elemental counterbalance, they actually do something. You just got to remember not to test on guns that have 95 recoil direction and stuff like that, because it clearly will not show anything there.
Yeah. Yeah. It absolutely will not. The other thing I'll say is that if you're playing with a gun like Mida Multitool, now Mida, I don't actually know the recoil direction stat on Mida. I don't know if that's something that that we've been able to get from the API. Destiny Tracker did not have it last I looked. And I don't know of another way to get those stats except out of the API.
I don't think it has it, but I haven't really noticed that Mida needs it that much. I didn't notice a huge difference with Mida and without, but that was just with me actually playing, not me testing it on a wall.
So I did do wall tests with Mida because I was curious and because it's the gun that is getting, you know, 30% of the kills in trials or whatever. So I was like, well, let's see what it looks like. So Mida's recoil actually appears to be fairly horizontal to me. It has a lot of side-to-side bounce. I would guess it's maybe a 60 or a 70, just from, you know, comparing it to other weapons. And it did go noticeably vertical, adding one and then two mods. It was a very clear difference. That said, in actual play, it does not seem to matter. And I think that the reason for that is because it has a pretty high range stat. Being a scout rifle, it has high base range, and then its range stat is pretty good. Well above average for a lightweight scout rifle, which I think I've said before. But its aim assist stat is 100. Mida has always had great aim assist in Destiny 1, and now it still clearly has phenomenal aim assist in Destiny 2. And I think that aim assist, that stickiness, makes the recoil more or less irrelevant in actual play. So something else to make note of if you're testing in actual play against live opponents, if you're playing with a weapon that has an extremely high aim assist stat, it may not matter what the recoil direction is because it's going to stick to their head anyway. So that's just kind of a pro tip there as far as when deciding what mods to use. Your loadout makes a big difference.
And being honest, I've never really found that scout rifles benefit a ton from counterbalance perks. Now, that being said, that's because in Destiny 1, we didn't have a lot of fast rate of fire scout rifles. And in Destiny 2, we have a lot of fast rate of fire scout rifles. But I've honestly just never felt like I had any issue keeping the recoil vertical with semi-automatic weapons. Same thing with hand cannons. I never really felt... Now, that being said, I didn't like Aya's Luna's recoil direction because that was like to an extreme horizontal, which I found to be off-putting. But I've never really found with semi-automatic weapons that counterbalance is something I really felt like I needed. I know some people like it. I personally don't. Even with certain pulse rifles, I didn't necessarily feel like I needed in Destiny 1. Like, I was a huge proponent of using the Hawksaw without counterbalance. But people, you know, to each their own. It's really just a feel thing. That's what it comes down to. Lincoln Green, I very much think that it needs counterbalance in order to tighten up that burst. But, you know, some auto rifles, I also think, are much better with counterbalance attached to them. I don't know many of the auto rifles that have great recoil directions by default. I think they're all pretty much low. There's a few of them in the adaptive that have like 75 plus, 70, 75, somewhere around there. And then obviously like Hardline Sweet Business have, you know, 100. Their recoil direction is straight up and down. But, you know, for the most part, I think you can always tack one onto an auto rifle and just make it feel better. For the most part, you can, not that pulse rifles are super competitive, but Nightshade, Nurgle, Agenda 5, Heart of Time, if you end up with, I believe Heart of Time is the Future War Cult one that we're going to be getting. At some point, if we win, I don't think that one has a great recoil direction. I think it's like 60, so you can probably use it there too. It's the same archetype as Lincoln Green, so you'll probably want it if I had to guess. Not that anyone's gotten to play with it yet, but you know, tack a counterbalance or two onto there and see how it goes.
One other thing I want to say on the subject of auto rifles, and this is something that kind of threw me a little bit. So the precision auto rifles, I don't think that the recoil direction stat out of the API is 100% reflective of the precision frame, like, intrinsic perk or whatever. I think that perk might be giving them an additional bonus that's not reflected in their base stats, because the origin story had almost no change. So I don't know if that frame is doing something that the stats like are not reflecting, or if it just... it's already fairly high. I mean, it's, you know, it's already a 73 recoil direction, so it's not going to be a major change, and I may just not have had a large enough sample size to detect a big difference for the origin story specifically.
What we can do is try to test like the Galliard 42 or something, which has a 70 recoil direction.
That's probably good.
Versus maybe the Uriel's Gift, which has a 71, or even the Number, which has a 70, and just see what direction they go up.
Yeah,
actually, I might do that tonight while I'm messing around.
Yeah, dude, let me know what you find. So that's just something I've kind of had in my head to follow up on, that the origin story seemed particularly vertical, and seemed to not get a whole lot out of a counterbalance mod. But that's anyway, that's besides the point for now. They definitely do make a difference for a great many weapons. So let's we've got a few more mods here to cover, so let's dive into those. We've got some reload speed mods. There's a kinetic munition loader and a power munition loader. These gave different percentages back when I was doing the math for the weapons that I checked. So I think that they are probably really stat bonuses as well. But I did not do a ton of testing on the reload mods aside from to get kind of a baseline for what they're going to do for you. So on average, you can probably bet that you're going to get something in the vicinity of a 10% bonus. The power munition loader, I tested a couple of different power weapons, and it came out to 9% pretty much every time. The kinetic munition loader, I actually had to rely on a third party to test that one because it has never dropped for me. So that one, the frames came out to 12%. But with a larger sample size, we might see that vary a little bit. Like I said, I think it's probably a stat bonus to reload speed rather than a percentage bonus. So they definitely do give you a significant benefit, but is it worthwhile? I would say in most cases, probably not. For me, probably not a great choice. The kinetic munition loader can go on arms or a Titan Mark, so it's competing with counterbalance mods. It's competing with some of the cooldown mods. It's competing with an acceleration. Well, it's not competing with an acceleration mod. Oh, it is on arms. It is. So there's a lot of different choices in those slots, and I don't know that a 10% buff to reload speed, while it is something that you can actually see the animation move a little bit faster, I don't know that it's worthwhile. The power munition loader might be worthwhile because reload speed on power weapons is abysmally slow for a lot of them. And a 10% bonus is actually a fairly significant amount of time, or a 9% bonus. So that may actually be worthwhile. That can go on the chest armor or on a Titan Mark. Again, those do stack, so you can stack two of them. You'll get, you know, roughly 17% increase to reload speed. I don't know that it's worth stacking them, but if you don't have another good mod in one of those slots, that's not a bad one to have. That said, power munition loader is going to be worthless in PvP. It's only valuable in PvE. So,
yeah, I haven't felt any need to use any of the loader mods at all. I don't see a tremendous purpose for those.
Yeah, especially in PvP, you should be using cover extensively. There's no reason that you should ever have to reload in the open unless you just are way out of position. In which case, that 10% buff isn't going to save you. That's those. And then we've got two mods left here. We have an energy bracket mod and a power bracket mod. These mods increase weapon handling for their respective weapon slot. So the energy bracket mod can go on the helmet or on a warlock bond, and the power bracket mod goes on a chest piece or, again, on a warlock bond. So warlocks can double up on extra handling speed. Because the other ones appear to be stat bonuses, I think this is probably also a stat bonus to the handling stat. However, it came out to approximately 15% across the board. So either I didn't test a broad enough set of handling stats, or it works differently from the other ones. I can't say for sure at this point. I don't know that it makes a huge difference in use. The important thing to know is that it is going to increase your speed when equipping the weapon, when stowing the weapon, when aiming down sights, and when zooming back out. All of those saw a roughly 15% increase across the board for every weapon that I tested. So those do work. Again, weapons with slow handling stats or low handling stats are going to see the greatest benefit there because you are taking the most time. And so any decrease to that time is going to be the most useful. Weapons that are already have high handling stats, weapons like Hard Light, for example, that has just ridiculous stats across the board, did not see a significant benefit. I think it increased the ADS speed by like one frame. Choose wisely. Know your loadouts. Know what weapons you like when choosing those mods. I would say that in those the helmet and the chest slots, if you don't have something else, you know, if you're staying away from the cooldown mods, those are not bad mods to choose. I probably would take an impact absorption mod over an energy bracket mod on the helmet. But I might take the power bracket mod over some of the other options on the chest, unless you feel like you need another counterbalance mod there. So definitely mods to consider, but maybe not the top tier choice for me.
I use them for sniper rifles that don't have like a quick, I'm trying to think what it is, like a quick draw-esque perk. I use them for heavies like that, which I found to be actually pretty useful. So I'm a pretty huge fan of that.
Again, on heavies, a lot of heavies have a much slower base handling. I haven't spent a whole lot of time with sniper rifles because I'm still bad at sniping in Destiny 2. But speaking as far as like shotguns, fusion rifles, rocket launchers, a lot of their handling stats are pretty, like the base handling is pretty slow, even if the handling stat itself is high. So these definitely make a huge difference in actual time.
Also, by the way, just ran the test on the number, which has a recoil direction of 70, and the Galliard 42, which also has a recoil direction of 70. And the number was pretty much straight up and down. And the Galliard 42 was not. The Galliard 42 pulled about 30 to 45 degrees to the left.
Okay, so that confirms what I saw with Origin Story then, which was also pretty much straight up and down.
So I don't know if that necessarily means that the slower rate of fire has to do with it. I do not think it does. I think that means that the precision intrinsic perk actually does benefit. Actually does benefit them in some way.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. I had a feeling that a lot of these intrinsic perks were doing something to the stats behind the scenes. Something I'm kind of curious about looking into down the road, trying to figure out exactly how those all work and what they're doing for us. But yeah, so that's good to know. So it does appear, like I guess that they might be doing something to the recoil direction stat. There's some actual science on the show for you guys. That's
mid-show science,
a rare treat. And that brings us to the end of the mods, though. That is all of the mods that there are for armor. Technically speaking, there are mods for ships. Ships have transmat effect mods, which are pretty cool, and there's a lot of them, and I'm not going to list them out because I made a list and put it on the internet, so look that up. Massive breakdown of Destiny 2 mods. It was on the front page of Google for a while, guys. I was super excited. But that's all there is to it, and that's the mods for you. I think if you don't have anything else on mods, we probably want to take just a couple of minutes and do a quick Patrons Corner in this episode and then call it a night.
Yeah, let's knock it out.
Okay, so been an exciting month. We've had a couple of questions here from patrons. One question for this episode came from Kinetics, one of our patrons. He asked, does explosive payload affect flinch? And I think he's trying to clarify here because it did definitely affect flinch pretty dramatically in Destiny 1. I have not had a whole ton of experience getting hit with explosive shots in Destiny 2. I've been pretty lucky in that regard, dodging the Nameless Midnights. But I think you said that you had, so what's your take on that?
It does. I mean, it does basically the exact same thing it did in Destiny 1. It shakes the screen, and if you ever go up against the Nameless Midnight, you'll see it. Or Better Devils. I want to call it Better Cookies for some reason. I don't know why. But yeah, Better Devils, you'll see it. Your recoil direction becomes randomized, basically. Instead of flinching in the same normal way, it bounces your screen all over the place. And although I haven't frame tested, I'm pretty sure you still get the same flash of brightness that whites your screen out for a frame or two. So yep, still helps.
Nice. Okay. Well, and that's, I guess that is part of the reason that Better Cookies is so popular.
Yeah.
All right. So that is actually, I think that's it for questions for this episode. So just a few thank yous due this month. Want to give a shout out to three new patrons, two of whom currently are going to be remaining anonymous. I do have a gamer tag here. JC Jesse, hey, thank you so much for the support. Much appreciated. Much appreciated. Everybody should check out JC Jesse. Go give him a follow on Twitter. He is also doing some stuff in the Destiny community. And I am forgetting the name off the top of my head of, I believe, his podcast. And he can make fun of me for that later. So, and then I also want to say thank you to the Lancer Manser for his pledge this month. Thank you so much. Much appreciated. The support means a ton to us, guys. Thank you also to everyone who's pledged in past months. You guys it's humbling and inspiring to know that we're making that big of a difference. And I want to, on that note, I want to say just a massive shout out to three Guardians who have been with us for 6 consecutive months now. Thank you so much to Tankacito, to A One Tree Mix, and to Inquazi. These three Guardians pledged back in March of this year, so they are our oldest patrons, our original supporters, and they've been super active, hanging out with us in Discord, just guys, I can't tell you enough how much I appreciate the support. So thank you.
Yes, thank you all very much. You guys definitely help us to do the things that we do and do the cool stuff and keep this podcast up and running. So really, really appreciate it.
Yep, absolutely. And on that note, if you're a fan of the podcast and you want to come hang out with us, we have a Discord. It's linked on our Twitter account at DestinyMVP. You'll also find a link to our Patreon there, as well as a whole bunch of links to episodes. You'll also want to check out at Mercules904 on Twitter. He'll have a link to his spreadsheet up all the time. And you can check out me at Kit Kutcha. That's KYT_KUTCHA. People have trouble spelling that, so I'll help you out. Mercules, by the way, is spelled like Hercules, but with an M. That's also something that throws people off. Spelling lesson done. If this is the end of your Destiny podcast week, check out our friends on the Destiny Tracker Podcast Network, the Destiny Tracker Podcast itself, Destiny Down Under, Destiny Lorecast, Rabbit Hole Radio, and the RNG Cast. All great shows and worth your time. So that is all I've got. Peace.
Later, y'all. Have a great night, and we'll see you guys next week. Bye.